Welcome back to Super Tati's for Parshas Vayera. We'll start with a few stories. The first one is about Rav Ben Sion Abashol, the Or Letzion. He told a story about a particular Jew who was coming back to Torah, and he was slowly, as the Eitzah is, getting back into mitzvos, and where he was holding the big Kabbalah that he was working on was just saying brachos with a kippah on, meaning putting on a kippah, but the issue was that he was a menahel in a bank, which means that he had a position of power, and the culture of the banks wasn't such a kippah culture, and he was embarrassed. So he was struggling, tried, but he was starting to feel weak about it. All of a sudden, he had a big customer come in with all of these important documents and some money, and is trying to get his cheshbon all together. And on the way in, this person somehow dropped everything he had, all the important documents, all the money, everything, and it had spread out all over the floor of the bank. So this person obviously is in a frenzy, like a little child, you know, trying to clean up everything on the floor and trying to get it, make sure he didn't lose anything, miss an opportunity to get that money in his cheshbon. And he's sitting there in a quite embarrassing way, and he's wondering, why is he not embarrassed? And he gave himself mussar. This person, he said, I know why he's not embarrassed. It's because everybody around here puts value on it, so they understand that they put value on money, and because of that, you don't need to have any busha, any shame, in doing something like this. And he said, you know what, that's me too. If this person has no busha, you know, just gathering this money, I should be, with no busha, gathering the jewels of wearing a kippah when I say brachos. Let's talk about a beautiful hanhagah tova of the Baal Divrei Shalom. This is Rav Shalom Yitzchak Mizrahi that had a hanhagah tova to say Birkas HaMazon all year round from a Rosh Hashanah Machzor. And when asked upon this custom, he said that the purpose of the custom is that he wanted to take the severity and seriousness of Rosh Hashanah with him all year round so that he would bench properly. On a similar note, it is known that Rav Shach was very, very into brachos and benching from a bencher, and he was very, very makpid on this particular thing. So these two stories together really are very good for a little something before Birkas HaMazon, that he always wanted to do it from a bencher. And it happened to be that in the middle of benching, he noticed that there was a page that had folded over and there thereby had kind of wiped out a little bit of a word on the bencher. So he stopped and went to go get another bencher. So they asked him afterward what he had done. He said, yeah, I did it because of this word. He said, don't you know the word? He said, yeah, but I made a Kabbalah. I accepted upon myself that I was going to bench from the bencher, and that is exactly what I'm going to do. The next story is, in my view, a little bit of a funny story. I find it humorous because I always like when I see Gedolei Torah and Tzaddikim who will show a little bit of personality, show a little bit of humanity so people like us can kind of import and figure out how to use our own, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us our personalities for a reason and is looking for us to use them and not only simply to subordinate them. So Chassam Sofer was having his office hours, and there was a bachur that came to him who was getting close to getting ready to get married and asked for Eitzah, how am I going to deal with my issues of gaiva? He was a little bit haughty. So he said, you know what, let me think about that. Why don't you sit down next to me, and we'll get back to you. So the way the story goes, somebody came in and asked him for some help with money. So he turns to the bachur. He says, bachur, do you have any money? He said, not really. I have to take out loans for myself. Okay, so we'll help you find you some money. Okay, fine. The next person in office hours comes in and has a shaila. The shaila is intense, and there are so many different sides to it, so many different shitas, so many different ways that you could look at it and approach it. And he went to the Chassam Sofer to figure out how to address it. And the Chassam Sofer, when he heard the shaila, turned to the bachur and says, well, can you resolve this? And the bachur said, Kvod HaRav, no, I can't. So Chassam Sofer gave his answer. And then third, there was somebody who came in looking for kind of the eitz of a gadol for some issues about his finances and his business. So he laid out the question in front of the Chassam Sofer, and the Chassam Sofer listened to him, and he turned to the bachur. And the bachur said, well, I don't know. How am I supposed to know anything about this? So the Chassam Sofer then finally gave, you know, what he thought. and responded to the individual in the third person. And once everybody had left the room, Chassam Sofer said out loud in a way that kind of the Baruch would hear, how strange it is. There's a Bachar who doesn't have any money. He doesn't understand. He doesn't know how to paskin shal. He doesn't have any, really get halacha. He doesn't know how to help people with their businesses. And yet he has a problem with gaiva. Okay, so, I mean, you know, that could be interpreted as like kind of put him down a little bit. But, you know, since the person perhaps asked for a little bit of help and a little bit of a little hadracha, perhaps this was appropriate in this case to, you know, to help him kind of stick into his space. I'm going to give you the three thinking questions and then some Divrei Torah, because I have not a clue how long the Divrei Torah are going to last. Thinking question number one. Avram Avinu gives a bris milah to his son Yitzchak, and we have a Mesorah that Avram Avinu kept kol haTorah kula, everything all the way down to an Erev Tavshilin. So if so, why don't we see anything about him doing a Pidyon HaBen? Next question is we encounter Akedas Yitzchak this week. The Akedas Yitzchak is referred to as Akedas Yitzchak, but it's referred to as Avram's Nisayon. So how do we reckon the fact that it's Avram's Nisayon and it's not really described as Yitzchak, and why do we call it by this name, Ayin the Meshech Chochma? Third thing is a very, very peculiar pattern about Avram Avinu and money. He says back in last week, Laman Yitav Li Bav Reich, why it's going to be good for me, they're going to give me Matanus, says Rashi. And then by Adchut Me'ad Srucha Na'al, he doesn't want money. And then he gives away to the Bnei Keturah, he gives Matanus later. And back and forth, it seems like Avram Avinu, he gets rich, and he gives it away. What is his approach about money? He wants gifts in the beginning. How do we put that all together? Okay, a few other Divrei Torah now. Number one is Vashem Pakadas Sara, and Rashi says there that anybody who has a situation and has a friend with the same situation and davens for them, they're going to be answered first. Two questions. First question is, what if they're both davening for each other? How does that mechanics work? It says net net chila. Number two, are we allowed to use this as a tool? So we have Meiser, for example, we're allowed to test a Kadosh Baruch Hu, allowed to rely on this. Is that something we're allowed to do in other contexts? So there's a Machlokas Achronim, I believe Chassam Sofer says no. And it's supposed to show your kind of your altruism, and there's no altruism in using somebody else like a pencil. And there is a letter from Rabbi Akiva Eger. Rabbi Yechiel Michel Stern brings this down in one of his farm, I believe, Sefer Amidos. He says there's a letter from the Rabbi Akiva Eger when he wasn't well, writing to somebody else saying, I hear you're not well. Also, let's daven for each other. Number two is there are several Rishonim that say that after that of Avram Avinu's 10 Nisyonos, the Akedah, which is this week, is number 9, but number 10 is getting a plot for Sara Imenu. Rav Yosha Bir Soloveitchik says that the idea is that fundamentally, when we have a giant ordeal, sometimes we have the inspiration to stand up, but what do we do when we get back to normal life? How are we going to be different? How are we going to handle it? Next, Akedah Yitzchak is probably... It carries so much challenges in so many different directions, but one of the fundamental challenges is Avram Avinu, we know as a great mitzvah of chesed. He had an open tent. He did hachnasos orchim. He seemed to have such zrizus, and it seemed to come easy for him. So the opposite of mitzvah chesed is something which seems almost like achzarios to hold back. And to bring your child as a sacrifice, that sounds like something that goes directly against his midos. And Rav Kook says that's specifically the point. The point is that great nisyonos in our lives may often be something which doesn't ask us to just be ourselves, but to go beyond ourselves and to say that this is an instance where we really need to. Need to do more and complete ourselves. One other one which I like is Lushiva Asi Ugos. It seems like at the beginning of the Sidra, Avram Avinu is instructing Sarah to make ugos, and Rashi says we're talking about Pesach here, and these are matzos. So the question that I ask is, how is it that Avraham Avinu celebrates Pesach if the exodus from Egypt, i.e. Yetzias Mitzrayim, has not yet occurred, right? You could argue that this is completely anachronous. So I could answer that question based on like the Ramchal's approach generally, the more mystical approach, which is that there are times of the year that tap into certain kochos, certain powers, and this was already, quote-unquote, Pesach time. Pesach time had certain things, so in that way he could do a pre-Pesach celebration. But I could also say, and this is one that I am very fond of, is that Avraham Avinu could celebrate Pesach because he had already heard in the Bris Beinu Basarim that that Yetzias Mitzrayim had already happened. And he had such strong bitachon that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him that there was going to be a giant issue, but also a giant Yeshua, that was enough from Avraham Avinu to start a Yontif and to celebrate. And that's even before it happened. So we also have in Perek Yud Ches, Pasuk Yud Gimel, Sar Imenu is taken to task about laughing about her good news. And the Meshech Chochma tries to explain why is it that she is taken to task specifically more than Avraham Avinu, who had already been told, and it seems as if he has not a terribly dissimilar reaction. So Rav Meir Simcha brings the Rambam in his introduction to Zoraim, and he lays a bedrock foundation. There's a lot to see there, Ayin Sham, but he says this idea that there is a fundamental distinction between a Kodesh Baruch Hu and a Navi. When a Navi gives a Havtacha to a person of a piece of good news without any conditions, and in such a case, that will happen. Masha'in Kain, a Kodesh Baruch Hu, sometimes he says something, then if a person changes their behavior, then a Kodesh Baruch Hu can't take it away. So that's the Rambam. He says, that which comes from Hashem can change dependent upon a person's behavior. So therefore, we can have a fear, like by Yaakov, Shema Yigrom Achet. Maybe I did an Avera and I don't deserve it anymore. But that which comes from a Navi, that can't change. So when Hashem says to Avram, and Avram, it says he laughs a little bit in his heart. Says Halaven Me'ashanim Yolid. That's because it could change. Meaning maybe there would be a chait or some other circumstance where things could change. But by Sarah, after she heard it from Avraham Avinu, that was as if she heard it from a Navi. And if she heard it from a Navi, then there is no change. So if that's true, when it says she laughs, that means that she should be taken to task. So that's the idea. So this is a very interesting fundamental idea, and it brings out a lot of important concepts, the difference between a nevuah and a havtacha. And for somebody who wants to look a little bit more into this question, they can look back in the Ramban on Pasuk Tes Vav that seems to say a different mahalech, that Avraham Avinu did not tell Sarah the nevuah, and you can try to work on that question. Thank you, and have a wonderful Shabbos.